Okay, welcome on behalf of 929 and to our motion, welcome to part 11, Achadesre Ahava, Gematria of Ahava, to we Ohev Sefer Tehillim is in many ways the book of love, if I can say that. So, Benny, it's a pleasure to have you, and let's get right to it. Sefer Tehillim.
Thank you very much, Rabbi J. I would like to start with a dedication of this shiur lezichra shel Katy Fischel, who unfortunately was nifter exactly 2 years ago. It's tonight her second yahrzeit, and I want to wish the parents, Cookie and David, a lot of koach, whatever is described her about Katy. I wish that you should continue with this joy le'ilui nishmata. Yehi zichra baruch. The topic tonight is, in lecture 11, is chapter number 50. It is one of the most wonderful 150 mizmorim, and I'm always absolutely serious when I say that at the beginning. It is a fascinating mizmor, and this mizmor, as you see here in the outline, has a very special story for me, because when I started to learn Sefer Tehillim, I had quite a lot of pieces which came together, and a lot of connections and collections in the Sefer Tehillim. And I slowly got the picture. And like when you play a puzzle, a mosaic, it gets clear, but there are some pieces are really missing, and it's some places are very hard to put together. When it came to chapter 50, I was for quite a long time critical about the hypothesis, is there really a structure? Because there were so many questions and so many mysteries and the unclear enigma, which I had no approach to tell you. And Baruch Hashem, that was some, I'm now 10 years in the field doing the research. That was till 5 years ago when I had the impression, here is no chance to find a solution. And as big as the problem was, or the question, the challenge, I think, that's what I want to present you. I wouldn't waste your time for otherwise. As much as there was a big problem to find it from learning and studying it, the same experience was when I found the solution, and I'm really excited to present it tonight to you. And there are many components to it. We start as usually, I promise at the beginning, I will focus only on one chapter. But we know already that focusing on one is just the beginning to look afterwards, what is before, what's afterwards, and to find additional insights to see another dimension to Sefer Tehillim, not only in the text, but in the context. And I think that the system here is really the methodology I want to show how it works. I would like to start with an introductory note on the very interesting Gemara in Masechet Horayot, at the end of Masechet Horayot, which I think is very relevant for one of the pieces I want to present you tonight. The Gemara there asks a very interesting question: what is more important in the study of Gemut Torah? Should one be very broad and know everything, remember everything? That is called Sinai. Everything is in front of him. Ke'ilu, he was standing in front of our Sinai, being very knowledgeable. Or is it preferable that one should be Oker Harim, with the sharpness of his mind and his analytical approach, he can understand deep connections. And interesting that the Gemara asked these questions. I think it's a very critical question for every field of study, the Limud Torah, of course, as well. And here, the Gemara has a very clear answer at the end. Teiku, we don't know. Both is important. How did that change during our days that we have less knowledge, we have easy search system? What I would like to present you tonight, today, we look at the Bible, we look at in our Shiurim at Tehillim. The text in Tehillim was explained in the Mishnah, in the Midrash, Talmudic literature, and afterwards in the commentators, and in a lot of interesting philosophers, Jewish philosophers. And we want to follow this line. We want to follow and see how one mizmor was explained by Rashi, by the Midrash, the Gemara, and modern commentators. I showed here two, which I will mention later, the Rambam and Rav Kook. And afterwards, we go back and think, what does that actually tell by searching it? That is the search system from the Responsa. There are many others. And by doing so, we learn what career had the Pasuk generations after it was written by in the Tanakh. That is called the reception history. What happened with the Mizmor later on? That's very interesting, but it's after the Tanakh. But I think that sheds a very, very interesting light if we go backwards. Because these Mefarshim, and we are blessed, we have, I don't think that there is any literature in the world, in any culture of the world, that we have literature going back 3,000 years, 2,000 years, and it's explained over the centuries by very, very smart scholars in the Gemara and later on. And how do these interpretations shed a new light on the very biblical text and in our understanding of the Bible? So that is on one hand a search that we go very broadly to what is said about these psukim in the literature, easy to find today. And afterwards, we take all these pieces and come back. What does it contribute for the pasuk? And how can we go deeper inside both Sinai and Oker Harim? And we should. I would like to present that to you in one pasuk when we talk later. So that is the overview of the entire book, which is worthwhile to learn by heart. And we see here the first two books with the first David collection, blue here in the first book, and then the second David collection, surrounded by the Levi'im, the singers in the temple, both Korach and Korach, and more closely to it, Asaph and Asaph. And here we have chapter 50. It is Asaph. Part one is only one mizmor. And afterwards, there are 11 mizmorim here, making it up to 12, the same as for Korach. We have here 8, and we have here 4, making it up to 12. And we spoke about it, that the Levim had 12 members before and after David, surrounding him before and afterwards. So why is this mizmor Asaph, one mizmor, disconnected from all the other 11? No reason. The other 11 mizmorim, we will Mir Tzashem talk about it in 2 weeks, have a very clear structure. Why is one totally disconnected, like a little orphan, lost in another place? And why is it after Korach and before David? The beginning of David, we learned last week, 51. So these questions are very tough questions, which are real challenge. And I hope at the end, you will see that there is a logic to it. And I believe over the last 5 years, more and more, that is not only a solution for this big problem, somehow a solution. I think it is a brilliance, deep, deep thinking of biblical writing and poetry and philosophy. Most wonderful. For that, of course, we have to go closer and to understand the mizmor. Before we talk about the mizmor, let's remember what we showed in a previous lecture, number 8, about the friendship, the connection between King David, Asaph, and Korach. That is a pasuk in Divrei HaYamim, in the Chronicles, where it's described that King David appointed 24 teams. Rabbi J, are you recording? 24 teams.
You see the recording button, like we pointed out. Is if you ever don't see the recording button top left, then let me know. But that's
being recorded. Good. So what we see here is that King David, who was not allowed to build the Mikdash, appointed 24 groups of Levim, the singers. And these 24 groups, the first one was Asaph. It says here, Vayetze HaGural HaRishon LeAsaph. And afterwards, there were gatekeepers, shorim, which were more external. The internal close by is Asaph, and more distant to him are the gatekeepers. We spoke about that, and I will show it shortly on the next slide. What is the feature of Asaph? You see, King David appointed them, and they are mentioned right away. Either they were his bodyguards, they are close to him. What's their job? Their job, the singers, are actually prophets הניבאים בכינורות, בנבלים ובמצילתיים, על יד אסף הניבא. They had prophecy, not just nice music and beautiful poetry. The songs had a message for the future, to shape next generations of Am Yisrael. And look how they are described here. They were very close to King David. And it says, Kol ha-mevin. And they were mevin im talmid. They had students. And they had a tradition, a legacy. So King David was surrounded by Asaf. That was his closest friend who surrounded him. And when they came to Yerushalayim, and that's what I want to show on this diagram, when they came to Yerushalayim, and David was singing, and they brought the ark to the Beit HaMikdash, the Levim surrounded him, and he was dressed as a Levi, as he was dressed as a Levi, because he enjoyed singing together with the Levim. The closest friend of David was Asaf, when he brought it to the Mikdash. King David was not allowed to bring a korban, a sacrifice for his sins, but he prepared it for everybody else, and Asaf was next to him. Now think for a moment, give place for your imagination. What is Asaf going to tell him? The closest friend and the consultant to King David, when they come to Yerushalayim, the place where the sacrifices will be brought, and everybody knows, David, you will not be there, because you have a history, you have investigations, you have your sins. What is he going to tell him? That's the question I would like to show. It's the same slide in English. If somebody wants to teach it, he can take it from the PowerPoint, and some of the slides are just hidden, and you can take it from there. What is he going to tell him? Look at the close relationship between Asaf 1 and between King David 1. How are they connected? Now, if we understand that Asaf was the closest consultant of King David from all the singers, and he was also a prophet, we will get an interesting idea what we are going to see. And I translated that to English because these are very important connections. Sitz im Leben, where is it located in life? We learned about the temple when he brought the ark to Yerushalayim, and now we learn Sitz in the literature. How does it reflect to the literature? King David in the middle, it starts with his sin. It ends with the story that with the last will of King David, that Shlomo, chapter 72, will continue the King David's dynasty. So that is a summary of the story with Chet Batsheva. And that's the end of the second book, which is surrounded by Asaf, as we showed, 1 and 11, and with Korach, as we showed, 8 and 4, and that's the end of the third book. We ask the questions, how are they related? And I want to have today milestones in the lecture. One milestone will be, and we should have a l'chaim to understand, chapter 50. What's the internal flow and the message of Mizmor Nun? The next one will be, what is the neighborhood, the connection to chapter 51? It seems not connected, because one is Asaf and one is King David, and Asaf should be somewhere else. So the question is bigger, why it is here, than the hope to find the connection. Different authors, different people. But we will see they are strongly connected and very intelligently connected. There is a dialogue between Asaf and King David, a very meaningful dialogue. Why is Asaf the beginning of Asaf? Is not only the beginning of 51, it starts the prologue of the second David collection, which is dealing with his sin, 51, and the continuation of the dynasty by his follower, Shlomo, after at the end of his day. Chapter 50, as own entity, has a bottom line. And the last pasuk, which we will look at later on, has a very important strategic connection. It is the juncture, it is the scene between 50 and 51. between Asaph, the first of 11, and King David, collection 2, the first of 22. So we will see that this single pasuk is perfectly located at the juncture between these collections. And I want to show it. I will not have the time today, but that is actually a preview for the shiurim on the second collection of Asaph, which are strongly connected to the source in chapter 50, which I will not be able to address, but I will make a short comment why Asaph follows the Korach collection number 1. This collection, this location of chapter 50 is perfectly justified by all these four views, all the four perspectives. Here is the Mizmor, and I will start to read the Mizmor before we make some comments on the message of the Mizmor. Mizmor le'asaf. El Elohim Adonai diber vayikra aretz mimizrach shemesh ad mevo'o. Mitzion michlal yofi Elohim hofia yavo Eloheinu ve'al yecherash. Eish lefanav tochel usvivav nisara meod yikra el shamay me'al ve'el haaretz lidon amo. Isfu li chasidai kortei vriti alei zavach. ויגידו שמיים צדקו כי אלוהים שופט הוא, סלע. שימעה עמי ואדברה ישראל ואעידה בך, אלוהים, אלוהיך, אנוכי. לא על זבחיך אוכיחיך ועולותיך לנגדי תמיד. לא אקח מבית חפר, ממכלאותיך עתודים, כי לי כל חי תויר בהמות בהררי א'. ידעתי כל אוף הרים וזיז שדי עמדי, אם ערב לא אמר לך, כי לי תבל ומלואה, האוכל בשר אווירים ודם עתודים אשתה, זבח לאלוהים תודה, ושלם לעליון נדריך, וקראיני ביום צרה, אך חלצך ותכבדני, ולרשע אמר אלוהים, מה לך לספר חוקיי, ותישא בריתי עליפיך, ואתה שנא את המוסר, ותשלח דבריי אחריך. אם ראית גנב ותרץ עמו, ואם מנעפים חלקך, פיך שלחת וראה ולשונך תצמיד מרמה. תשב באחיך תדבר בבין עמך, תיתן דופי. אלה עשית והחרשתי. דימית היות אהיה כחמוך, אוכיחך וערך לעיניך. בינונה זאת שוכחי אלוהה, פן אתרוף ואין מציל. זובח תודה יכבדה ענני, ושם דרך, אראנו בישע אלוהים. We have at the beginning a description of God's revelation to his followers in Zion. But not just to his followers in general term, it is on a universal term. Mimizrach shemesh ad mevo'o. From the rising of the sun until its setting. It's from Zion, locally, nationally, but the message is very, very general. And God presents himself, God the Lord, he spoke. That sounds like a prophecy. Because during the Mizmor, the speaker is, you can see which psukim, the speaker is Hashem. That fits beautifully to the Nevi'im. Not to Tehillim. But we said at the beginning that Asaph, he was not only a singer, Asaph was a prophet. It's totally reflected in the Mizmor, for sure at the beginning. And he comes and tells them, you are here, Chasidai, you want to make a brit, Pasuk Va'ei, you want to make a brit, gather to me my devoted ones, the Chasidim, who wait a covenant with me by the sacrifice. We are walking to Yerushalayim, to the Mikdash. Oh, you're talking about sacrifice? You think that's the solution? No way, he says. God doesn't want Korbanot. Tough criticism against Korbanot. In the second part, what Hashem wants, he doesn't need the meat. He doesn't need the sacrifice. What he wants is Zvach le'Elohim Toda. offer God a thanksgiving sacrifice. What does it mean? Not a sacrifice of named thanksgiving, korban toda. Be give him a thanksgiving or give him honesty. Because toda is not only thanks. Toda is also a vidui, a confession. As we know from many psukim in the Tanakh, what we want is not a sacrifice. Honesty we want. Straight people. Ethical behavior, that's what counts. We don't, Hashem doesn't need a korban. V'larasha amar Elohim, those who ignore Hashem and violate the values, he tells him, v'ata saneta musar, you hate moral behavior and you ignore it. And you see here that there's a lot of hints to Har Sinai. A lot of hints, we will see them in a moment. And he is quoting here, Aseret HaDvarim, Elohim Elohecha Anochi, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And here he quotes a lot of the Isurim in the Torah, Im Ra'ita Ganav, Mena'afim, and liars. That is unacceptable. I can't stand that, says Hashem. Who needs a Korban? Forget about Korbanot. Behave properly. And think about that, 22. Binuna zot shochechei Eloha. If you don't remember it, pen yitrof, pen etrof, ve'en matzil. And there will be no one to save if I will tear you apart. Hashem says very clearly, I don't accept violation of values, violation of the Aseret HaDvarim, of the Decalogue. So what does he tell at the bottom line? Zoveach toda yechabdanani. Whoever who brings as a sacrifice, the one whose sacrifice is thanksgiving, he honors me. It's actually instead of bringing a korban, you better be honest and straight and follow the values of the Ten Commandments of the Decalogue. Forget about korbanot. I don't need it. I'm not hungry. I don't need your meat. I'm the owner of the entire world. If you do that, that you are honest, but also v'sam derech, but he also sets up his path, his way. This one, Hashem promises, I would show him the salvation of God. So if we summarize here, and that's my classical way to summarize these messages, we have at the beginning, the name of the Mizmor is L'Asaf, the first one, Asaf. Asaf is a beautiful name, but there is a meaning to the name. Asaf means a gathering, an assembly. And he says, please come all together. Isfuli chasidai kotev riti alei zevach. You gather around the mikdash when you bring a sacrifice. Yes, I have something to tell you at this assembly. What is he telling them? I'm not interested in korbanot. I want straight behavior. That is what Asaf at the very beginning tells in front of the Asifa. And afterwards he, as we said, El Elohim Hashem. And he wants a covenant. Yes, but the Rasha'im, the evildoers, they have a covenant which they should never mention because they violate it and they abuse it. And here we have Hashem is talking. El Elohim Hashem diber vayikra aretz. Hashem reveals himself from heaven. And he talks to human beings and he calls them up. Diber vayikra. The notion of yikra appears two more times in the Mizmor and adabera three more times. Hashem calls you. Hashem in search of a human being, as a famous book says. He calls from heaven and he wants justice. And he calls and he encourages us to call him. Hashem wants a dialogue. Hu kore, and he tells us, ukraini. He talks and he says, listen, my people, my nation, I will talk to you. But he is sad about that human people talk in the wrong way. They are liars. So there is a revelation from Hashem, but a very, very sad frustration from Hashem's side. If you don't do it, forget about sacrifice. It will never work. Behave properly. And if you don't do that, I will tear you apart. 22. And the bottom line is, now fix your own ways. Think about yourself, be honest, confess your mistakes, and try to change them, from there you will have a Yeshua. That is the message, the flow of the Mizmor. I will not explain all these Mizmorim. He says, Lo atzvachecha ochichecha, I don't want your korbanot. And at the end he says, please, instead of a korban, be honest. Your honesty is the real sacrifice. Instead of a zevach todah, bring only a todah, honesty. And here, these are the connections which put the Mizmor clearly together. So that is the internal flow. And as we mentioned, Asaph was a prophet, a singer, a close friend of King David. So what he actually does, he brings the idea of Har Sinai with very, very clear connections. And here I will not elaborate them, but here you see a lot of words, terms from Har Sinai, which are clearly integrated in the Mizmor. It is like a new Har Sinai revelation, telling us now and today, the honesty and the values of Har Sinai, that's what counts. And he quotes the Decalogue. And remember, in the Decalogue, we have a beautiful summary. The first word says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your Lord. And the last word says, V'chol asher l're'echa, and whatever is related to your fellow men. The Decalogue goes down from the authority from Hashem down to earth, and in the second part, the five, it is related to human interactions and relationship and values. What we have in the Mizmor here, it's a revelation at the beginning of Hashem, not Behar Sinai, in Sion. And Elohim Hofia is mentioned twice in Sefer Tehilim and one more time in the Tanakh. Hofia Mehar Paran, God reveals himself at Har Sinai. So that is clearly Har Sinai. And at the end, it says, I want you to be honest with each other, and not only with each other, honest with yourself. That is more than what we have in Har Sinai. You should be honest with yourself, fix your own ways, v'sam derech. That is the message. It's a new message of Har Sinai for later generations. And here we have a lot of analogies, which I will not elaborate, but they are beautiful. So actually, chapter 15 is a new message of Har Sinai, of human behavior, of values, most relevant for King David. Imagine, King David is dancing to Yerushalayim, preparing everything for the Mikdash to bring Korbanot there, but he is not allowed to do so. And everybody knows why. And everybody knows that Shlomo is preparing it. Shlomo, who was born from Bathsheba after the big disaster. So Asaph tells him very clearly and very bluntly, values count. Oh, you can't build the Beit HaMikdash? Who cares, says Hashem, as a prophecy, as a song. What counts is proper behavior. That's what we want. Now I want to ask you, and you can use the chat if you wish, but I think it's too obvious to ask a question. I have here, and again, chapter 50. And I'm asking you, who do you think would be a good example in the Bible or in Sefer Tehillim who is presented as one who thought he can bring a sacrifice or build a Mikdash, but actually what he is accused for is mena'afim, adultery. You have an idea who that could be? If you don't know, if there is one person who has no clue who that could be, I want to give you a little hint. Just look at the next Mizmor. And the next Mizmor, we hear that Natan is coming, the prophet Natan, another prophet, Asaph and Natan are very good partners, two prophets, very good colleagues. One says the general statement as an idea, and one makes his way to King David. And he tells him, you are the man. And there is the story with the Kivsat Harash, and King David had to realize in Sefer Shmuel, yes, it's me. And he admits that he chatati. Lecha, we spoke about that last week. Lecha levatcha chatati. For which sin? For mena'afim. He wanted to bring the korban. Forget it. You will never bring a Korban King David. Not you. No compromise for King David. And look at the wonderful analogies, which I cannot explain all of them, but that is not an, that's not by accident that the same words are mentioned here and here. Here Hashem reveals himself and says, I want justice and I will talk to you. And when King David admits, Lecha lebatcha chatati v'hara b'necha asiti, quoting Shmuel, he says in the middle of the chiasm, as we discussed last week, Leman tizdak bedovrecha tizke b'shoftecha. He uses exactly these three words in the middle of the chiasm, which Asaf, the prophet, a colleague of the prophet Nathan, told him before. Is that by accident, you think? And you ignore the word of Hashem. Vatashlech devarai acharecha, not a very common expression. And King David says, Al tashlicheini milfanecha, do not throw me away. Why? Because somebody who ignored the word of Hashem and he threw away the values of Hashem, the counteract would be, the response would be that he will be thrown away. And there is a clear message. We don't want zevach. Zifchei Elohim ruach nishbara. That is what King David realized. So if Asaf said it generally, the next step is, oh, now, Nathan, you can go to King David and tell him. Or as later reader, we can say, that was the strong message by Asaf. We have one good example of a person who really made tshuva. He didn't bring korban. Why? He couldn't. He was punished. He can't do that. But what could he do? He can be honest. He can admit all his sins and he can improve his sins. And that is exactly the analogy. If I bring you an analogy of such a list of sustained analogies, it's not just because I like the colors and these arrows. There is a deep, deep meaning. If you want to sit afterwards and take this slide and read, there is an active dialogue between 50 and 51. What Asaf said on a general level, on a theoretical, religious, educational level, somebody has to illustrate it. There is not one, there is no better person than King David, who fully proved how honestly he did it. And it was his entire life that was dictated by this change. Not only by Nathan the prophet, but also his precursor, by Asaf the singer and the prophet. Oh, his best friend who came with him to Yerushalayim. Great friendship, but very, very honest. Very, very, very much to the point. What a beautiful message. Good friendship, but very clear values. I think this connection to me is after we understood the flow of the Mizmor here, which is it comes from heaven and requests something. That is the message of the Mizmor, milestone one. Now we know that we have a good example. It is King David, the hero of Sefer Tehillim, the first king and the founder of the dynasty. There was no compromise with him. And Asaf was very, very clear. There are messages and there are values. You can never violate them. That is message number two. Now, what I want to do with you now, what I want to present now is, let's take the last pasuk, which is really at the best location, exactly at the transition from Asaf 50 at the end to the next Mizmor 51. It's really the point. If there was a lot of anger or very strict statements in the Mizmor, the last pasuk says, whoever admits his sins, he will honor Hashem. And if he finds his right way, he will see the Yeshua. That is a more positive outlook than what it says here. Pen etrof ve'en matzil, otherwise I will tear you apart and nobody will save you. So let's now take a look at this pasuk. Ibn Ezra says, v'sam derech, outstanding linguistic insight. V'sam derech, mi hitbarer lo haderech hayashar. Why there is a pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu? These are very beautiful analysis, which I collected explanations to the pasuk. I will make it quickly because it takes us in a little bit another direction of the commentators, of the reception history, but I would like to give you a taste. Ibn Ezra, a clear understanding of the word, and he recruits a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Radak says, there is one way that he fix his path, that you bring a korban. And the person who is honest, and he is not only understanding Ibn Ezra, he is also going another way. He's changing his lifestyle. That is another level, another emphasis that Radak points out. And here we have Rashi. V'sam derech hashav elai melamed v'sam derech lechot'im lashuv arena b'yesha Elohim. For the one who returns to me, he teaches and prepares the way. Prepares the way is the word of v'sam derech. Rashi integrates the word of this pasuk, and he says, whoever does tshuva. Hello, Rashi. Which pasuk is talking about, where in the pasuk or in this mizmor is anybody talking about chot'im, the sinners, lashuv elai? What a difficult Rashi. There is a question, what does it mean v'sam derech? And Rashi recruits here ideas and have no clue where that comes from. All of a sudden he talks teaching others. Does the pasuk talk about teaching others? Not a word. Are they chot'im? Not a word. Why is Rashi saying that? And Rashi, the greatest commentator? The answer is totally simple. Rashi understood that there is a connection between chapter 50 and 51. Because the pasuk, Zoveach toda yechabdamini, v'sam derech arena b'yesh Elohim, it has the same two words, yishecha and drachecha, as we have in chapter 51. Where King David says, my tshuva will not only be for myself, I will go, and if I want to be happy again, and I want to teach others, and I want to teach the poshim drachecha, I want to teach the chot'im, that everybody should make tshuva. These are exactly the words, as you can see in my yellow highlights, these are exactly the words which Rashi quotes in chapter 50 at the end. We have no clue where he takes it from. There is no indication in chapter 50 that anybody is talking about teaching chot'im, making tshuva for others, show them the way. Not one clue in chapter 50. But Rashi had the deep understanding in the 11th century that if you have a question in chapter 50 at the end, just keep reading and go back to 50. And he integrated word by word, chapter 51, what the pasuk says. These four words are quoted in his Perush. That is a brilliant, brilliant insight from Rashi. Obviously, he looked at the two Mizmorim together. I thank Professor Grossman, who I had the chance to discuss and review it. And I'm very, very happy, the world expert in the commentary of Rashi. And he fully agreed with my analysis. And now we talk about the Gemara. And that would be a wonderful analysis, which will take us some 20 minutes. I can't do it, unfortunately. But there is one Talmid Chacham in Masechet Sota, in Masechet Moed Katan, and in Sanhedrin. And he has two Midrashim, here and here. And if you focus only on the blue background, he says something here, and from chapter 51, and afterwards another Midrash from chapter 50. And he says something here, quoting chapter 50 and afterwards 51. Isn't it obvious that he takes these two psukim and makes one drush, one flow of ideas? What is he saying? He has a beautiful saying, Kol hasam orchotav zoche veroe b'yeshuato shel kadosh baruch hu. Whoever pays very, very carefully attention to his own ways, he will see that Kadosh Baruch Hu will help and reveal and save him. Al tikra v'sam ela v'sham. Carefully analyzing that. A very interesting midrash. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, there was a lot written about this brilliant Talmid Chacham, who always has a very special interest in midrashim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which I cannot elaborate, whoever is interested. What is important for our context is he connects in both Gemarot, the same Midrash, from chapter 50 to 51. And it is one flow of Midrashim, like a contextual interpretation of the two Midrashim. And now we look, how is this Drush from Rav That is the translation if you want to look at it afterwards. And now we have here this beautiful Midrash where it says, sorry, I will go to the English translation. That is the Pasuk. And the Pasuk is explained by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Whoever sets his path in this world, it means he thinks carefully. What are my decisions? What are my action? What is my action plan? What's my behavior? Whoever does that properly, Kadosh Baruch Hu will help him. He merits to see God's salvation. And he quotes the Pasuk. How is this Midrash explained? Rambam, he quotes this Pasuk, both in his early commentary to the Mishnah and in his famous Hilchot Deot. And he says, it's critical that every human being finds his own way, his own behavior, his own attitude and qualities of his personality. A very important Midrashim right at the beginning of Hilchot Deot. Rambam uses this Midrash of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi based on chapter 50. That is a crucial Midrash. What does Rav Kook, sorry, I should take this one first. What does the Gerer Rebbe, Sfat Emet? He says that one has to teach others. That is what the Gerer Rebbe says. Imagine a Tish of Hasidim, the Rebbe on the top of the table and hundreds of Hasidim around him, and he leads them. He takes that Hasam Ochotav, not only to find his own way, to create a way for others, to show the way to others, to teach others. What is Rav Kook saying? Rav Kook has a beautiful analysis, and he says, Hasam Ochotav, he should find in his own personality what is the best way which fits my own personality on a very individual psychological level. So here we see all these Midrashim, and again, Rav Sfat Emet is of course connected to what we saw before from Rashi. So far, the summary of this little Midrash, where I try to show, if we look at the reception history, we actually learn a very important message. End of chapter 50 teaches us, Asaf says, as a prophet and a singer, God is in heaven and he reveals himself. And now you better do exactly what Hashem wants from you. Fix your own ways and take care of your own behavior. So far, the second milestone. And now we come to a question. What happens with the next Mizmorim after Natan came in chapter 51 and gave a very strong message to King David? You were a sinner and you will be punished. And at the end, Shlomo is born. How does that translate to the flow of the second David collection? And that's a slide we looked at previously. And I want to point out, to draw your attention, what Natan told him. Natan told King David, you are the man, you are guilty. So says the Lord of God of Israel, I anointed you as a king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Shaul, and I gave you the house of your master and your master's wives in your midst, and I gave you the house of Israel and Yehuda. And if that were too little, then would I add you to like them and like them? I gave you more and more and more, and you abused it. So what is King David telling? What is Natan telling King David? It's not the mistake that what you did yesterday with Bathsheba. Your whole career, where you had great support over the generation, your whole career of your life, I supported you. And you just violate all the values? Adultery? Killing Uriah? Can it be more tough? What Natan says? Yes, it is what Asaf said one chapter before. That is the message. So this idea of Sefer Shmuel, where Natan talks to King David, that's the idea which follows now in the second David collection. It's not only the sin with Bathsheba and you killed Uriah. It is your whole career. Whatever I did for you, says Hashem and Natan, whatever I did for you, David, you could be the great king. You could have the great success. From day one, I supported you. when you began at the very, very beginning, when Shaul was running after you. Since that time, I help you. And what have you done with that? Adultery. Killing Uriah. Your whole career, retroactively, was a mistake because you are a sinner. And afterwards, King David says, Chatati l'Hashem. Not only on the sin, which is, of course, the focus of this chapter, but my own career is not justified. So what is King David doing now in Sefer Shmuel? He cries. He doesn't say a word. He fasts. And his baby dies. And at the end, Shlomo is born. We don't hear one word. There is a silence. That is Sefer Shmuel. What happens in Sefer Tehillim? In Sefer Tehillim, we have a midrash. What is he saying? After chapter 51, Bevo Elav Natan HaNavi Kasher Ba'el Batsheva, he starts right away. If you come to me today, Natan, because I came to Batsheva, and we spoke about that last time, that Bevo and Ba are two totally different actions. One is he came to rebuke him, and King David came to Batsheva for sexual intercourse. Ba, Bevo, a totally different meaning. Twice in the Bible we find it together. Chapter 51 and chapter 52. Why? A poor vocabulary? Please, that's not the reason. A very sharp understanding. David came, Nathan came to David to rebuke him for his sin. And now David remembers what happened when he came to Doeka Adomi, when he was running away from Shaul at the very, very, very beginning of the kingdom of Shaul and before David was a king. Because now David goes back and he remembers, where did I start my kingdom? Why does he talk about the past after the Chet of Batsheva? Because that is what Nathan told him. Think backwards. Who are you? What's your career? What have you done with your career? And here we see a beautiful flow of 22 chapters which follow exactly this idea. There were some scholars who found some connections, and there was a lot that I think was not written elsewhere. At the very beginning, he says in chapter 51, "Al tashlicheini milfanecha v'ruach kodshecha al tikach mimeni." His whole career to the very end, when he was an old man in chapter 71, "Al tashlicheini le'eit zikna." That is a whole story with a framework from 51 to 71, when he was an old man. What is an old man doing when he is a king? He writes the last will and makes sure he points a follower in chapter 72. Who is that? Shlomo, who was born after the sin of Chet David in Batsheva, when Hashem forgave him. So that is a clear story. We cannot elaborate now in the last minutes the whole story. That is a clear flow. At the beginning, we have four mizmorim of maskil, insights, reflections. David, you should have sechel. Oh, about David, it says, Shehu vayehi David lechol drachav maskil, v'Hashem imo. And now David thinks about his life, on his private life, on his career. What was he before he was a king? How did he become a king? That is on a private level. And we will elaborate that next time a little bit more. I just want to give you an overview to shed a first light on these ideas. And afterwards, he tells him, Al Tashchet, three Mizmorim, 72, 78, 79, having the title Al Tashchet. Most commentators said we have no clue what it means. Of course we have a clue. Check the intertextuality of Al Tashchet. Where is Al Tashchet mentioned? Al Tashchet is mentioned in the book of Dvarim, Va'et palel el Hashem va'omar Adonai, Al Tashchet amcha v'nachalatcha, asher padita begodlacha, asher otzeta mimitzrayim b'yad chazaka. Moshe prays to Hashem and tells him, do not destroy your nation, which you brought from Egypt. You should bring them to Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly the concern of King David. His own sin, asking for forgiveness, but now talking about of Am Yisrael. Whatever Moshe said, Al Tashret for Am Yisrael is now true for King David. What a beautiful, concise title. He talks about that here. And afterwards, he talks about not only the saving King David privately, that is more nationally, and in the beautiful song, which we unfortunately will not have a chance to read, 72, he talks about the entire world. And at the end, he talks old King David, and he says, how can I fix my sin? By being a better person myself in the first five, four Mizmorim, by making sure I make a contribution for Am Yisrael, following the concept of Al Tashret of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the Torah, and afterwards being here for the for Am Yisrael and for the entire world. That is King David's tshuva. In chapter 51, he says, I want to make tshuva. Beautiful words, beautiful text. Where do we see the facts? Where do we see that he is zoveach todah yechabdanani v'sam derech, that he is going this way? We don't see that in chapter 51. In the collection of King David, we have a beautiful flow. That's King David, the biggest sinner, the king with a terrible sin, but the biggest Baal Tshuva. And we spoke about that. That is collection King David 2, is King David's Tshuva. In a very systematic way, in a very stepwise accomplishment, himself, and afterwards for Am Yisrael, and for the entire world, and giving his kingdom over to the next generation. What I want to show here, which the commentators, without the contextual interpretation, they're lost. They have nothing intelligent, sorry for my arrogance, they have nothing convincing to me to say. At the beginning of this second David collection, 753 is quoting chapter 14. We spoke about that. Why do you repeat it? Dementia? And at the end, chapter 70 is quoting chapter 40, which goes back to chapter 35. We spoke about it. Why is he doing that? You run out of good ideas to write a nice mizmor, King David, that you have to quote them? Not at all. In the first book, King David opened the book with Kim Betorat Hashem Chefzo. The focus is the king studies the Torah, chapter 1 and 2. And as a king who is involved and committed for the Torah, the entire first book shows how he is connected to the Torah. In the gradual steps, which we discussed in earlier shiurim, that's exactly what he does now. If I'm a king and I'm a sinner, what are my sources? What are my values? And he goes back beautifully when he makes tshuva by quoting book 1, because now King David remembers, what did I learn when I was a little student in chapter 1, when I made my own way? And he quotes them again, and he writes them over, and he integrates these values from chapter 14 and 40 in his career as a leader of Am Yisrael. And he applies them now in another context with beautiful small changes. But I will not focus on the changes. I will tell you, collection King David 2 is a rewriting of how does David, after his sin, how does he fix his way based on these values? That is a beautiful insight, a masterpiece. And who actually gave Natan HaNavi the idea that we need values? It is Asaf, who would be with him in the Mikdash, would he not have been a sinner? So that is a beautiful, very clear flow. What I want to show you here, that at the beginning, Asaf, he spoke before the Beit HaMikdash. He spoke before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. He spoke before the Mikdash was built by King David, because King David couldn't do it, but Shlomo will do that. What happened afterwards when the Churban is there? It is the same Asaf with the great values, focusing on the values from Har Sinai, which helped King David to fix his life and go the right way, v'sam derech. After the Churban, in the third book, it will be the same Asaf who continues for the next generation to teach Am Yisrael. David was a sinner and he fixed his way. And now it's your turn, Am Yisrael. You are sinners and you will fix your way. We'll talk about that later. What I want to show you now of one of the miracles of the biblical, of the Tehillim poetry, that the ideas of Asaf, they flow. They are like rain making the next chapters, bringing ideas for the next Mizmorim. And that's what I want to show you here. V'shalem le'Elohim nedarecha. You should make a commitment to Hashem. A neder means I commit myself for values. That is, we saw before that chapter 50 and 51 are strongly connected, the twins. The neder, King David in the second David collection, four times he makes a neder. Why is he making a neder? Because he follows the motivation by Asaph. V'shalem le'Elohim nedarecha. That's what he does. Four times it's mentioned. In the rest of Sefer Tehillim, another three times. So in a very high concentration, David is the example for the person who makes a commitment. If we talk about it, ladin amo, you should judge your nation. That is what David prays in chapter 72, which we will look at next time. What David prays for his son, you should be the judge for your nation based on justice. Tzedek v'mishpat. That is all the idea of Asaph in chapter 50. If he says, Shim'a ami va'adaber va'idabach, we see the same words in chapters of 81. And it follows in the next book that it's actually the last chapter of Asaph, 83, and chapter 50. It's a framework. It is a masterful connection, a network of these analogies from chapter 50, which go all the way through, and we can summarize. Chapter 50 connects to chapter 51, the twins. Chapter 51, the tshuva of King David, based on what Natan HaNavi told him, based what Asaph HaNavi told on the general terms, is the starting point for King David's collection too. And the pasuk, which we looked at so carefully, says exactly the most important thing is not the mikdash and not the korbanot, not the sacrifices. It's your own behavior. And that is what David, that's the strong message of Asaph in his bottom line. And that is what David so beautifully translated for his life after his sin. And based on his tshuva, he built his career and continued the dynasty. So that is the basis, once what will happen after the Churban, when King David is not around anymore, and we have to prepare ourselves mentally, religiously, for the Churban. So that was the idea, and now I hope that you saw in what a wonderful, masterful way the first David collection and the second one, which we need to elaborate a little bit more, it is exactly the turning point of Asaph, who brings it to the next level. We have to be to have the values, and David will be an example in the second David collection. We cannot compare the second David collection, which illustrates King David's tshuva, to the first David collection, which illustrates his theoretical learning, his Torah. We can't connect that. Oh, we can connect it because there is an overlap. But now he applies the values from collection one, and he shows in his life how he takes it to another level. We spoke today about chapter 50 as an introduction to 51, which is an introduction to the cult, to the second collection. And I would like to discuss next time more details about the second David collection, which we will not have time to elaborate in depth. But I would like to talk about Mizmor 72 as the highlight when King David gives over his dynasty to his son Shlomo. Thank you very much for your attention. That is the summary, the things we saw today. And if there should be any questions, I'm happy to hear.
Hi, Dr. Benny, thank you so much. It was very, very interesting. I guess before I get into the questions, I just want to say it was a very well presented that the first step to the tshuva process seemed to be honesty. And there was a lot of time spent on honesty before one could get to full repentance. So that I personally found very interesting. One of the questions, though, that came up, Tova asked, is why was Batsheva punished? If you could elaborate on that.
Sorry, what is the question?
Why was Batsheva punished?
That her baby was killed, died.
Yes, that her baby died, yes.
That's a good question. She suffered for King David's sins. I have to think it over. Mm-hmm. Does if anybody else has a question, has an idea, I'm happy to hear. I think the question is a double question. If King David made a sin, so he is the person who needs to be punished. Why was a baby punished? So that is a question which I don't understand. And now you you enhance this question. If he was, if the baby was punished and I don't understand it, why was she punished? And she was really a victim of his misbehavior. It's a good question. I have to think about it. I prefer to have a good question than to give you a lousy answer. If somebody has an idea, I'm happy to hear.
Wonderful. Okay, that was well well said. There was another question, which I know is a question that's been around for a while. What does the word michtam mean in here in Tehillim? I know that the there's a modern translation, but do you know what it means within these chapters of Tehillim?
So there was no clear answer. I found a lot of explanations on that. And for Al Tashchet, I got an idea, which is very, very simple. Open the computer, remember where it is said, Al Tashchet, look at the two intertexts, at the two texts, and make an intertextual explanation that works well. Michtam does not appear. So people want to say it is like a michtav. That is a lousy explanation. What should it make? What should be to the connection of michtav and michtam? So like michtam is like a ketem. Ech omrim ketem banglit, Susan?
A spot, a stain, yes.
So it was a stain, and that is something where he suffered from that. I could so far not find, and I searched this term in many commentators, I couldn't find anything that really convinces me what is the unique contribution. I'm sorry, I don't have good answers today. I also have to focus. I have to focus on tshuva. I think that is the message.
You're being very honest. So I think that maybe that is the message. Okay, the discussion has started on the chat regarding the baby. Because maybe, Ruth points out that the baby is in an untenable position. If he lives, what will he be, right? Maybe he'd be a mamzer. What would his situation be? So in all cases, his life is a tragedy.
That is true, but the solution of a mamzer is not that he has to die as a baby. So it is true that it would have a terrible impact on his life. Still, to die for that needs an explanation. It seems to be out of proportion that the baby died and that Bathsheba had to bury her husband and afterwards her baby because of David. So this violation of values, I can just emphasize what Asaf says in the second part. It's not only adultery, it is shedding blood. And that is what he says, Atzilei midamim, Hashem, save me from blood, from blood shedding. So there is a very, very deep vidui confession that he actually caused the death of Uriah and he caused the death of the baby. And he ruined his life not only by being a mamzer, he died for that. So his confession, at least, is now very powerful on two different levels.
Right, right. And at the end, so here just a little bit more about Bathsheba. Comes out, right, that she became the queen of Israel and she also became the mother of the future king. It happens to be that I find it very interesting that we see, you know, with if we go to the upcoming parsha with, you know, in a few weeks regarding Yehuda and Tamar, and we have all of like the concept of the Malchut, of the kingdom, coming not necessarily from very straight and clean and relationships, but there are questions throughout the way on things that, you know, are seemingly inappropriate or outright inappropriate. And yet it leads to the future kingdom. So I think this.
So that's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. If we look for a moment to other heroes of other religions, where the son, the hero is a son of God and his messages are from heaven. And the Chazal have an interesting idea to explain that where do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is existed in the Torah? It's of course a very interesting midrash, and it says Bishagam hu basar in Breshit Perek Vav, the sixth chapter, because a man is a human being. And Chachamim explained Bishagam hu basar is the gematria, the numerical value of Moshe. What is that for a funny midrash? We have no place in the Torah of Moshe to know where Moshe is mentioned. So what does the midrash want to say? The midrash want to say that you are a human being. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he was most importantly and foremost a human being. So we know that King David, with all the admiration for him and all his accomplishment, we want to emphasize that he was a human being. He made mistakes and he fixed his mistakes. He fixed it? No, the child died and Uriah died. He tried to fix it. But the tikkun, the fact that he tried to fix his way and he tried to be a human being with all the mistakes, that is the message that he can make it. There is no sin which is inborn and only somebody else can help me with the sin. You make sins, you fix them, you get a better person, and you take responsibility. That is the message of the second collection. And that's the message of many, many places. Now, I would allow me to give a recommendation if we focus next time on chapter 72, which is a fascinating mizmor. If you want to read and you have time during your studies of 9 to 9 to follow that, of course, at the end, we focus on one mizmor, and I will jump over 20 mizmorim because that's the way I prefer to structure it. We focus now two shiurim on 50 and 51, which hopefully showed you a certain key to understand the flow. I will make some comments on collection David 2. What I will do is I will give a few examples to compare two psukim and to show how they are representative of the idea and the flow of thoughts of the second book. There is a lot to be read, and I focus on this unit from before with a great interest. They are very, very interesting. And I want to give you a few examples. If you find something interesting, might be I will present it next time. And if you find something interesting, which I do not present, please send it to me beforehand. So I would like to evaluate that. What is the flow? There are psukim which are individual, and afterwards there are the same pasuk for others. And you will remember that psukim mentioned in the second collection of David are very, very often quoting Korach number one, the first part. So I will elaborate that a little bit. I think that's a classical case. If I bring too many examples, it will not be easy to digest. I will bring a few examples, and the focus will be on chapter 72. I would like to invite you, if you have ideas during your studies and your reading of the psukim, please share it with me so I get some feedbacks. It's important for me. These lectures are a talk and a little bit discussion at the end. That would be a great help for me to hear back your interest and your ideas to make it more interesting.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Benny. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you, Toda.
Thanks, everybody.
Be well. Have a good day.